Welcome to Another Day Above Ground, a show for, by, and about baby boomers. It's the podcast for people who have no idea how to download a podcast. And now, here's your host, Dale Irvin.
Good day, my baby boomer friends, and welcome to Another Day Above Ground. This is the podcast for baby boomers, those of us in an older generation right now, who are just happy to be alive. Every day above ground is going to be a good day. And, you know, I can't do this by myself because I'm not that positive. So I have two baby boomer partners that we're going to share some ideas with you and hopefully make you laugh. First of all, from the great state of Indiana, the man I call the Aristotle of comedy because he's both wise and funny, welcome Tim Slagle.
Hey, in the news, the United States is selling F-35s to Poland because apparently the paper ones they were using were getting tattered.
And we also have joining us from beautiful Denver, Colorado, Carolyn Strauss.
And I am loving that it's summer because it's my excuse that every time you buy chocolate, you have to eat it really fast before it melts. So welcome to summer.
Okay. So you might have issues we'll discuss in a future show. All right. If you're listening to us, you are probably doing it via the internet or the cloud or some other wondrous thing out there that we can't see. But we pretty much believe that it's there. And we thought, hey, what a great topic for today's show is stuff you can't see, but believe that it's there. And I'm talking, of course, about things like religion and spirituality. And since neither Tim, Carolyn, nor myself are all that qualified to speak on the subject, we thought we'd get a special guest, and I'd like to introduce you to Dr. Michelle Medrano, who is the lead pastor at the Mile High Church in Denver. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, thanks for having me. I wish I would have known I had to have a funny tagline like y'all started with that. I didn't think to bring one, though.
Neither did I.
Me either, clearly.
I don't know. I thought that was pretty funny. That was pretty funny, Tim.
Now, the Mile High Church.
Is it recreational or medicinal, Michelle?
I would imagine communion's quite the offense. But really, are you of any specific denomination? Is it a Christian church? Is it what is it? You know, and let's start off with what is religion. I did some work or some research. Found out there are over 4,200 different religions.
I'm sure you are absolutely right.
And not everybody can be right, you know. No. Personally, I'd hate to be sitting in hell looking at the guy next to me saying, who did you think it was?
But isn't it great if you start a religion? Don't you get to park free downtown?
No.
And take the subway for free in New York City?
I don't know about that. I've never gotten to take the subway free in New York City. Have you seen that? Is that true?
I don't know.
I don't think it's free, but most of the people tend not to rob you if you're
So back to this, Mish. What is religion? How do you quantify it?
Well, I would say that I would quantify religion as any set of spiritual rules, doctrines, do's and don'ts for humanity to feel as though they are able to follow the rules of the universe and end up in whatever place they feel they're going to end up after this life, whether it's heaven or hell or purgatory or for agnostics
or
atheists, or Costco or Walmart, Walmart is worse, of course, or wherever it is that they want to be or afraid they will be. So religion is something that tends to guide humanity. But I think that you're right. There can't possibly be one right true religion, you know, just doesn't seem reality.
Exactly. And you know, and people say, oh, we're all connected. We all have the same beliefs. Then why is it that 90% of the wars in history have been started because of variances in religion?
Exactly. Exactly. I tend to think of it more like a garden. I feel like whatever the universe is, that nature sort of shows us how flowers and weeds and choke weeds and trees and all sorts of different things can exist. They can coexist together, but there's not one right tree or one right flower in the universe, you know?
So let me get this straight. You're saying that there's possibly two afterlives, so that's like there's a Disney World and Universal Studios?
There could be. In fact, I sometimes think that our church is like an amusement park for the soul, you know?
Wow. Now there's a tagline, Michelle.
Yeah, it's too late. I already wrote it down for a book title.
So you buy the ticket, but the problem is if you buy the ticket to It's a Small World, you're never going to get to see Harry Potter Land.
I know. So there's just like humans go on so many different rides, right?
And that is religion. It's a small world. There's mine, there's yours, and they do not mix. And that's the weird thing about most religion. Like, there's a difference between religion and spirituality. What do you
there
see?
Is.
Like, people, because like millennials, most of them will say, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. So
yeah.
What's that mean?
Well, for me, that means that I see spirituality and Mile High and the faith tradition. You asked earlier if we are a denomination. I guess technically we are. We're considered what's called a New Thought denomination. The Unity Church and Religious Science, which is not Scientology, are all part of what we would call New Thought and have a more open-minded, y'all come, everyone's welcome. We don't really, we don't keep anybody out. We don't believe that, we don't have a theology that says that there's one right religion versus another. The person who founded this religion was more of a philosopher, and he felt that there were wonderful things to be taken from many faith traditions in the world. And so we tend to have that belief, and that tends to resonate more with millennials. But at the same time, millennials aren't really that interested in what they would call organized religion, which we always meet by saying, hey, we're not that organized, so come on over here. So
so it's sort of an alternative. So rather than Coke or Pepsi, it's like Fanta. We got all sorts of flavors over here, not
or
just the
new
colas.
Coke, you know.
Yeah. Or Coke Zero, right?
So what do you meet on Sundays? Is Sunday the church day for you?
Because that's kind of in the Western world, somewhat culturally normal, although there's lots of other faiths to meet on other days. But we tend to meet on Sundays and Wednesdays. We have services. We give talks. We have music. We have people that come together. And the thing that's different about us, I found this community when I was a teenager, and I was really rebellious. I'd left the more traditional faith tradition, and I was really kind of pissed off that I was being told by this faith tradition that that there was this God and it loved everybody except those people over there, and that I couldn't question anything. And when I found this tradition and I was allowed and encouraged to question and to take as much as I wanted from it or as little as I wanted, it really resonated with me as a teenager. And I think that's kind of the millennial soul, even though I'm at the edge of the baby boomers. I'm different than some of the baby boomers, and that, you know, once I found this place and felt so welcomed and free to be who I was, that I wanted to be there all the time. And we find a lot of millennials, once they get to our community, they feel the same way. But getting them there is a completely different experience than the baby boomers. The baby boomers almost come out of habit, you know.
You said you're asking these questions, though. Is God giving you the answers? Is God sitting there on Sundays?
No, we're all talking about it. We're all giving ourselves the answers, you know. We all get to, there's no God there giving anybody
answers.
Yeah,
you think God's going to go into an evil church like that? Heck no. God's over at my church.
God's too busy at the football games and the baseball games and all the sports events. God can't possibly be at our church.
And yet you're still tax deductible. Go figure.
here's a question, Michelle. Have you watched American Gods?
American Gods? No.
Yeah, it's a Neil Gaiman. It's based on a story by Neil Gaiman. It's all the gods are doing battle with each other.
No, I have not watched that.
So it's like Odin is trying to get align with Easter and the 12 Jesuses to go up against new media. So it's a you should check it out.
I will. That sounds fascinating. Yes.
So now, do you have many baby boomers at your church? Because I'll be honest with you, I've tried some of the new kind of churches, you know, with the rock bands and everything. And I'm a stained glass kind of guy. I like to go into an old fashioned church and I feel much more connected there. So I'm wondering if other millennials, you know, like the, you know, your kind of new type of church.
Well, we have a lot of baby boomers. In fact, I would say the majority of our population are baby boomers who have felt disenchanted with traditional religion, felt disenchanted with the rules and regulations, want an absolutely inclusive environment where all are welcome. So lots of baby boomers. That's the majority of our community. And we are building a community of millennials. And millennials, as Carolyn said earlier, tend to be more spiritual, but they get the kind of spirituality that we're teaching all over the place. They get it from Oprah. They get it from Deepak Chopra. They get it listening to podcasts like this and others. They're getting it everywhere. So they're not as motivated to come into church to get it because they don't need to. And I agree with them. Nobody needs to go to church to feel fulfilled in their lives. Even though I'm a minister, it's what I do. I don't feel that anybody needs to be compelled to come to church to have a good, fulfilling life or to get to wherever the afterlife has taken us.
We should talk to your marketing people, Michelle.
I was going to say, it's a good thing you're in ministry and not in sales.
Nobody needs what I'm selling.
The difference is, I don't need church. You guys don't need church, but my life is better. And I feel happier and more fulfilled when I do participate in community. So that's what I know. And that's what I will keep telling people.
So so do you then celebrate in your church one God, every God, no God?
We believe that whatever God is, that it's more of it's a principle and a presence, that it's an energy that's everywhere. We believe more in I would call it the Eastern notion of God, not the Western. The Western notion of God tends to anthropomorphize God, tends to make God in our image and sees God as a human up in the sky, a male guy with a white beard. We tend to see God like the Eastern traditions do, like the Buddhists do and the Taoists do, that it's more of a presence that permeates everything and everyone. And so it is a God of oneness. And that is the God, that is the energy, that's the spiritual notion, the oneness and the unity and the connectedness that definitely the current millennial population tends to really resonate with more.
As a boomer, my image was always Eric Clapton.
That's a good one. Yeah.
But what are your tenets? What are your, like in the Judeo-Christian side, we have the Ten Commandments. What are the tenets of a new church? What do you believe in?
Of a new thought church is that everything is one, that everything is connected, kind of like science talks about, you know, the nature of that everything is energy just showing up in different forms. And so we believe that that's what is the unifying principle that unites all of creation. And that if there is a God, that that's what God is. We tend to believe that this energy is available to us all. And we do believe in the power of what Jesus said, but we see Jesus' work as having been very misinterpreted over the years. And Jesus said things like, as you believe, it is done unto you. So we tend to believe that, you know, what you sow, you reap, and what you put out, you get back. And we teach people how to think for themselves and to live a good life that's full of integrity and the highest principles, but not, we don't teach people morals. We don't tell people what to think. We teach people how to think. We don't tell people what's right for them. We help them make decisions about what's right in their life. So therefore, we have a population of people from all demographics, from all political backgrounds, from all former religious orientations, from all relational orientations, straight people, gay people, trans people. We have a very diverse population from that standpoint of people who want a spiritual teaching and not want to be told, here's what you have to believe in order to get to some heaven or hell. So one,
it always seemed like,
you know, go ahead.
It always seemed like to me that that Jesus making the blind see was more of a metaphor. Than an actual miracle, because you know, here's the truth. If God can really heal the lame, why wouldn't he have done something about Christian rock?
Yeah. oh that is such a good question. Such a good question.
Sorry, I had to squeeze that one in, people. I
know.
Thought it was too good.
I had
good
no
to
idea
leave.
Where you were going for a minute. Yeah. Why is he getting serious on me?
Yeah, there's a lot of lame things that if God could heal the lame that we could name right here and right now.
He did. He corrected Christian Rock with Schoolhouse Rock, right?
Oh.
Now, you know, what do you think, you know, you say accept everybody. What do you think about the one, it's not a religion, but 14% of people are said to be atheists. They don't believe anything. Yeah. I don't see the benefit of that, you know.
Being an atheist?
Yeah, you don't get any holidays, no double time pay, no days off, you know. And when you die, I even wrote a eulogy one time for a dead atheist. Says, look at him lying there, all dressed up and no place to go. So, you know, I just don't get it. What are they against, or what are they trying to prove? Or, you know, you can sleep in on Sunday morning. That's the only benefit.
I actually performed at an atheist convention. And what it seemed to me is that they were all still mad at their parents for making them go to church every Sunday.
That could very well be. Yeah. Well, and isn't I heard a speaker say once, look, you know, the afterlife, God, it's binary. It either exists or it doesn't exist. You know, it either is or it isn't. And that atheists are kind of believing it doesn't. And that's okay. You know?
So here's the thing, Michelle.
Well, that depends. That depends whether or not you believe in Schrödinger's principle.
Mm-hmm.
Because say more that about you can that. Believe. Yeah. Well, Schrödinger's cat could be dead and alive at the exact same moment.
It could be in heaven and hell.
So there could be, but based on that, there could be an afterlife and not be an afterlife, and both states could exist.
It does. Go to the
same
mall.
Exact moment.
Heaven and hell in one place.
I saw a thing in the news where at a church a parishioner was yelled at, I guess, because he was in the pew, he was reading the Bible, but it was on his cell phone. And do you discourage people from being on the cell phone during church?
I don't, but I will say that even in our church, there are some ushers who do, and some people, you know, like, that's the hardest part. And I have a ministerial friend. She's always saying, church would be so lovely if it just weren't for these people. Because people, just because you walk into a church, whether it's our church or any, doesn't mean the people who are there are any nicer than the people wandering the mall, right? So sometimes they're kind of mean and righteous and rude. And so I don't see anything wrong with looking at your cell phone while you're in my church, but some of our ushers have given even my own husband a bit of a challenging time for having his cell phone open, you know, while he's there, and he's taking notes about the talk, and they're giving him a hassle for having his cell phone open. So, yeah.
Sure, he's taking notes. He's playing Angry Nuns.
Yeah. He's sending me text messages. You said what? You're telling that story about me again?
So when I was in college, it was the first time I ever read the Bible, and it was the 80s, so everything was very cool and groovy, and I got a denim-covered Bible. It was literally called the Denim Bible. It was a Bible, but you know, and it was a soft cover, and it was the Denim Bible, and my friends all thought I was crazy because I kept it in the refrigerator. And they said, why are you keeping your Bible in the refrigerator? I said, because I want to keep the Word of God fresh. And people thought that was weird. It made perfect sense to me. Dale, you're looking like I'm insane.
Well, no, I'm just objecting to the attempt at humor.
It wasn't. It was to keep the Word of God fresh. I was not trying to be funny at that point. I really meant it.
Well, good thing.
Go bad, you know.
That's hilarious.
What do you find to be the most anti-religion out there, you know, in the Christian religion, the world is going to end when the Antichrist approaches. And you know, and that could be anything from, you know, celebrities to politicians to the current state of affairs. What do you see an anti thing, an end of times in the new world church?
No, we don't spend a lot of time seeing that. I think that the anti-religion for me is just a level of unacceptance of other people and where what they want to believe and what they want to see. Now, I don't believe that any belief in any realm, whether it's spiritual or religious or political, that disenfranchises, disrespects any person has a place in our world. But we don't have any of that narrative going for us or any of those conversations going for us about the end of the world. Sometimes I think that's people's excuse for treating each other badly. You know, like
either that or you're really going to be shocked.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. I've always said if I die and I get to heaven and it really is that there's heaven and hell, just show me the elevator down. I'll go gladly.
That's what I want to hear from my
minister. I'm happy with the life that I live and the path that I've chosen. And if there ever comes a day when I'm not, I'll find another path. You know?
You would only say that because you lived in Arizona for so long. You're used to the heat, honey.
I lived in hell for 17 years, for God's sake.
That's right.
It was hotter than hell there, for sure.
And your tax deductible. I gotta start me a religion.
I wouldn't mind if we started to have churches be taxed. I don't see any reason why that's not fair at all. So, you know, that's fine with me.
Hey, if Amazon doesn't pay taxes, why should you?
Yeah.
The Church of Amazon, man.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So, what other questions do you guys have about religion? Any jump into your minds?
Tim, perfect. You got anything?
No.
Okay, so Michelle, one last thing. What do you think happens when we die?
Honestly, I think I'm hoping that there'll be someone there to offer me a shot of tequila, because that's always a good thing.
That is Michelle's drink of choice, by the way.
That's right. Welcome to the other side. Here's your shot of tequila. Where would you like to go next?
Communion must be a real kick at your church.
Yeah, we don't do communion.
That's the shot and the spliff.
The lime of Christ.
That's right.
The lime of Christ. It's the salt of the earth, man.
Oh, man. Let me focus on the picture on my wall here. I'm really sorry.
What you got there? Oh.
It's a picture of Jesus.
Was it a selfie or what?
Laughing Jesus. Yes.
Yeah, he's not laughing anymore. Did you turn around and watch?
I think it's an icon. He's shedding a tear.
Yeah, I love that picture. I have it too.
Anyhow, the one thing I would like to leave our baby boomer audience is that it's been reported and that more baby boomers are returning to church than ever before. And I think that's partially because we realize we're a lot closer to the finish line than we are to the starting gate, you know. Mm-hmm. And so they're going back to church and still looking for the answers. I think, you know, as long as we're another day above ground, we're going to be looking for the answers, and everybody's got one, and we all hope we made the right choice.
Looking for answers, looking for meaning, looking for a resolution at the end of my life. Sometimes that is true, absolutely.
And looking for love in all the wrong places. Dr. Michelle Medrano from the Mile High Church in Denver, would you like to plug your website in case any of our listeners are interested?
Sure, you can find us at www.milehighchurch.org, and high is spelled H-I, and our tagline is "It's different here," because it really is different here.
Okay.
And that's the same tagline that HSN had. Really? I just realized
When
I was on the Home Shopping Network, they'd say HSN, it's different here. HSN.
Oh,
better here. Oh, my God.
I thought it would be HSN, spend all your money here.
Well,
I
yeah, that too.
Tagline. Same tagline as Catholic priests had for the choir boys. It's different here. I might as well insult everybody. Anyhow, Tim, any last words before we sign off and all pray that we're doing the right thing?
Check out my other podcast, Rule of Three, with Tim Slagle and Ben Washburn.
All right, Carolyn, how about you?
It's all good. Enjoy your spring summer. And like I said, if you buy chocolate, eat it fast because it might melt.
All right. Well, same goes true if you buy cold beer. Drink it fast because it might warm up on you. And for a good time, visit DaleIrvin.com. There you can sign up for my Friday Funnies for free, and I'll make you laugh every Friday. Other than that, on behalf of all of us, we'd like to thank Dr. Michelle Medrano once again. And remember, my friends, what is today? It's another day above ground. Talk to you next week.
And that's it for another day above ground. For Dale, Tim, and Carolyn, I'm Farad Muhammad. Thanks for listening.